definitely have to take note, and Emma had touched on it, that basically the humility of Ruth. Like he gave the example of the CEO walking in. The CEO, I know, like, definitely for myself, like in my company, that if you're favored by upper management, you tend to get away with a lot more than like somebody that's not favored by upper management or directors or what have you. But Ruth, in the midst of all of this, she could have said, well, hey, I'm sitting here, I'm eating with my master, I'm done for the day. But she went back and she continued to be humbled. And sometimes I think that even for ourselves, that even in our prayer lives or whatever it might be in our own spiritual lives, when things are going great, we tend to like sort of take that for granted, that everything is going good in our lives. And we take these things for granted because we're like, well, everything is great. So then therefore we might even put the Lord sort of on a back burner and think that we've accomplished all of this on our own. But we have, but Ruth had the position that, yes, I am blessed and I'm understanding, but it's only by the mercy of God. It's mercy of my master that I am here. So I'm going to continue to go on for him and so forth.
There was a question that was asked of me as I walked in this morning, and I think this is a nice juncture to raise this. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 23, and I'd like to link this with the thought that Richard is sharing as to the attitude of Ruth. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, in verse 3 and 4, it says, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor and Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee." I think the attitude of Ruth was that she recognized that there was no real place for her where she was. That she was, and we mentioned this yesterday, she was outside of the blessings that were to the children of Israel. So she wasn't going to adopt, or it would have been a strange position for her to adopt an attitude of, I deserve to be here. I was brought back here by Naomi. She has a right and a place here. And if she has one, then I have one. But I believe that Ruth has the proper attitude. And it's an attitude that we should have as those who are Gentiles who have been grafted and brought in, to know that it is the sovereign grace of God. And that attitude, and we've been using this word energy, this spiritual energy that you see in Ruth. She's not lazy. She recognizes that she is now in a most favored position. And that she now is trying to gather up all that she can. And young people, I think this is the challenge to us. When we recognize that God has blessed us, and you see the fields, they're ripe with harvest. It's the beginning of the barley season. And she wants to use, with every ounce of energy that she has, that energy to gather up portions. Because she knows that it will satisfy her. And I'd like to suggest to us that the barley season again speaks of Christ and resurrection. We read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where he is, for he sits at the right hand of God." If we are going to grow spiritually, it is our desire, our understanding that where we are feeding on is the man in the glory. And Ruth now beats these things out for herself. And I want to point out that Ruth now comes back into the city. And I wonder if there's the thought that sometimes the collection of these things is away from all of the busyness of the city, away from all of its commerce. It's out in the fields where there's hard work. But then it's brought back to the city where there are those that she can share that which she has gathered for herself, that which she's enjoyed. Let us not go to camp. Let us not run into service without first having taken in the Word of God in our hearts, enjoyed it, and thereby we can now teach others or help others.
I continue on that very same thought. The Spirit of God records to us how much she had gleaned. 10 ephah, a whole, it's a Hebrew way of measurement. It's about 50 pounds. A 50-pound bag. This lady was working 12 hours a day, picking up. Then she went and she cleaned up what she had picked up to get the grain by itself. Let's make it very practical here. We have heard about studying the Word. Studying the Word. When you sit in a Bible conference, when you sit in a Bible study, if you are not going to take notes, trust me, I don't care how smart you are not going to be able to get everything. Your mind is going to wander everywhere. But that's one thing. If you don't go home and go over these things over and over and over again, you are not going to glean anything. Don't sit here, a minute listen, 10 minutes your mind wonder, what am I going to do after lunch and how is the activity going to be, or, you know, who's that guy that's sitting next to me, or why did he sit next to me? If you are paying attention and you're taking notes, that's what the Spirit of God wants you to do. And that's what Ruth was doing. She was taking all of these things. And she collected an ephah. Now, an ephah in the Hebrew measurement is 10 omers. We read that in Exodus chapter 16. When they collected the manna, it was an omer is enough for one man eating for the day, for three meals. She collected 10 times that. She collected enough food for 30 meals. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She collected all of that and she carried it back. This, and I don't think Ruth was kind of a big, I don't know, I picture her as a little tiny girl. You know, I don't picture her as a strong, you know, muscular person that is carrying a big pound of wheat and coming back, barley and coming back to it. So the important thing is the energy and studying the Word of God and going over it and being serious about it, because you will feed yourself, you will feed others, and you will gain enough. She didn't be happy to just go, oh, that's enough for the day. I'm going to go back again tomorrow. She got enough for 10 days, and she went back again tomorrow.
Ruth just doesn't stop working. She just keeps going on. 10 omers. She doesn't say, oh, look, I have an omer. That's enough for day. I'm going home. She keeps working on until the evening. She keeps working in verse 23. To the end of the barley harvest and to the end of the wheat harvest. It should be the same for our lives, too. There's never a point where we can stop studying and say, oh, I've learned enough. We just keep going on till the ends of our lives. There's never a point where we say, I've witnessed to enough people or I've done enough work for the Lord. We just keep going on to the ends of lives. We see that in the Toward the Mark article about Paul, how even in prison, near the end of his life when he was about to be executed, some people would say it was the pinnacle of his Christian life. He requests books so he can keep learning.